Okay, we are starting out chapter 11 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. And this one is called Aboard the Hogwarts Express. And they're finally going to Hogwarts, huh? There was a definite end of the holidays gloom in the air when Harry awoke the next morning. Heavy rain was still splattering against the window as he got dressed in jeans and a sweatshirt. They would change into their school robes on the Hogwarts Express. He, Ron, Fred, and George had just reached the first floor landing on their way down to breakfast when Mrs. Weasley appeared at the foot of the stairs looking harassed. "Arthur!" she called up the staircase. "Arthur, urgent message from the Ministry!" Harry flattened himself against the wall as Mr. Weasley came clattering past with his robes on, back to front, and hurtled out of sight. When Harry and the others entered the kitchen, they saw Mrs. Weasley rummaging anxiously in the drawers. "I've got a quill in here somewhere," and Mr. Weasley bending over the fire, talking to. Harry shut his eyes hard and opened them again to make sure they were working properly. Amos Diggory's head was sitting in the fireplace, like a large bearded egg. It was talking very fast, completely unperturbed by the sparks flying around it and flames licking its ears. "Muggle neighbors heard bangs and shouting, so they went and called one of them, what do you call them, policemen. Arthur, you've got to get over there." "Here," said Mrs. Weasley breathlessly, pushing a piece of parchment, a bottle of ink, and a crumpled quill into Mr. Weasley's hand. "It's a real stroke of luck, I heard about it," said Mr. Diggory's head. "By the way, what nationality are the Diggorys? Is he Scottish?" "It's okay." "What nationality are the Diggorys?"
"I don't know.
Irish, maybe?"
"Maybe, sure. Make them Irish."
"Okay. Wait, how do you do Irish?"
"Top of the morning to ya."
"I had to come into the office early to send a couple of vowels, and I found the improper..."
"That's good.
Is that okay?" "Okay. And I found the improper use of magic lot setting them all off if Rita Skeeter gets a hold of this one, Arthur." "What does Mad-Eye say happened?" asked Mr. Weasley, unscrewing the ink bottle, loading up his quill, and preparing to take notes.
"Remember with the Irish one that they don't say TH as they do the hard T sound?"
"Yes, you're right. Arthur. There you go."
"Yeah."
Mr. Diggory's head rolled its eyes. "Says he heard an intruder in his yard. Says he was creeping toward the house, but was ambushed by his dustbins." "And what did the dustbins do?" asked Mr. Weasley, scribbling frantically. "Made one hell of a noise and fired rubbish everywhere, as far as I can tell," said Mr. Diggory. "Apparently one of them was still rocketing around when the policeman turned up." Mr. Weasley groaned. "And what about the intruder?" "Arthur, you know Mad-Eye," said Mr. Diggory's head, rolling his eyes again. "Someone creeping in his yard in the dead of night. More likely, there's a very shell-shocked cat wandering around somewhere covered in potato peelings. But if the improper use of magic lot get their hands on Mad-Eye, he's had it. Think of his record. We've got to get him off on a minor charge, something in your department. What are exploding dustbins worth?" "Might be a caution," said Mr. Weasley, still writing very fast. His brow furrowed. "Mad-Eye didn't use his wand. He didn't actually attack anyone." "I'll bet he leapt out of the window and started jinxing everything before he could reach through the window," said Mr. Diggory. "But they'll have a job proving it. There aren't any casualties." "All right, I'm off," said Mr. Weasley. And he stuffed the parchment with his notes in it into his pocket and dashed out of the kitchen again. Mr. Diggory's head looked around at Mrs. Weasley. "Sorry about this, Molly," he said more calmly. "Buttering you so early and everything. But Arthur's the only one who can get Mad-Eye off, and Mad-Eye's supposed to be starting his new job today. Why, he had to choose last night." "Never mind, Amos," said Mr. Weasley. Said Mrs. Weasley. "Surely you won't have a bit of toast or anything before you go." "Oh, go on then," said Mr. Diggory. Mrs. Weasley took a piece of buttered toast from a stack on the kitchen table, put it in the fire tongs, and transferred it into Mr. Diggory's mouth. "Thanks," he said in a muffled voice, and then with a small pop, he vanished. Harry could hear Mr. Weasley calling hurried goodbyes to Bill, to Charlie, Percy, and the girls. Within 5 minutes, he was back in the kitchen, his robes on the right way now, dragging a comb through his hair. "I'd better hurry. You have a good term, boys," said Mr. Weasley to Harry, Ron, and the twins, fastening a cloak over his shoulders and preparing to disapparate. "Molly, are you going to be all right taking the kids to King's Cross?" "Of course I will," she said. "You look after Mad-Eye. We'll be fine." And Mr. Weasley vanished. Bill and Charlie entered the kitchen. "Did someone say Mad-Eye?" Bill asked. "What's he been up to?" "He says someone tried to break into his house last night," said Mrs. Weasley. "Mad-Eye Moody," said George thoughtfully, spreading marmalade on his toast. "Isn't he that nutter?" "Your father thinks very highly of Mad-Eye Moody," said Mrs. Weasley sternly. "Yeah, well, Dad collects plugs, doesn't he?" said Fred quietly as Mrs. Weasley left the room. "Birds of a feather." "Moody was a great wizard in his time," said Bill. "He's an old friend of Dumbledore's, isn't he?" said Charlie. "Dumbledore's not what you would call normal, though, is he?" said Fred. "I mean, I know he's a genius and everything." "Who is Mad-Eye?" asked Harry. "He's retired. He used to work in the ministry," said Charlie. "I met him once when Dad took me in to work with him. He was an Auror, one of the best, a dark wizard catcher," he added, seeing Harry's blank look. "Half of the cells in Azkaban are full because of him. He made himself loads of enemies, though, families of people he caught, mainly. I heard he's been getting really paranoid in his old age, doesn't trust anyone anymore, sees dark wizards everywhere." Bill and Charlie decided to come and see everyone off at King's Cross Station, but Percy, apologizing most profusely, said that he really needed to get to work. "I just can't justify taking off more time at the moment," he told them. "Mr. Crouch is starting to rely on me." "Yeah, you know what," said Percy, said George seriously. "I reckon he'll know your name soon." Mrs. Weasley braved the telephone in the village post office to order 3 ordinary Muggle taxis to take them to London. "Arthur tried to borrow ministry cars for us," Mrs. Weasley whispered to Harry as they stood in the rain-washed yard, watching the taxi drivers heaving 6 heavy Hogwarts trunks in their cars. "But there weren't any to spare. Oh dear, they don't look happy, do they?" Harry didn't like to tell Mrs. Weasley that Muggle taxi drivers rarely transported overexcited owls, and Pidwidgeon was making an ear-splitting racket. Nor did it help that a number of filibusters' fabulous no-heat, wet-start fireworks went off unexpectedly when Fred's trunk sprang open, causing the driver carrying it to yell with fright and pain as Crookshanks clawed his way up the man's leg. The journey was uncomfortable, owing to the fact that they were jammed in the back of taxis with their trunks. Crookshanks took quite a while to recover from the fireworks, and by the time they entered London, Harry, Ron, and Hermione were all severely scratched. They were very relieved to get out at King's Cross, even though the rain was coming down harder than ever, and they got soaked carrying their trunks across the busy road and into the station. Harry was used to getting onto platform 9 3/4 by now. It was simply a matter of walking straight towards the apparently solid barrier dividing platforms 9 and 10. The only tricky part was doing this in an unobtrusive way so as to avoid attracting Muggle attention. They did it in groups today, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, the most conspicuous since they were accompanied by Pidwidgeon and Crookshanks, went first. They leaned casually against the barrier, chatting unconcernedly, and slid sideways through it, and as they did so, platform 9 3/4 materialized in front of them. The Hogwarts Express, a gleaming scarlet steam engine, was already there, clouds of steam billowing from it, through which the many Hogwarts students and parents on the platform appeared like dark ghosts. Pidwidgeon became noisier than ever in response to the hooting of many owls through the mist. Harry, Ron, and Hermione set off to find seats, and soon they were stowing their luggage in a compartment halfway across the train. They hopped back down onto the platform to say goodbye to Mrs. Weasley, Bill, and Charlie. "I might be seeing you all a little sooner than you think," said Charlie, grinning, as he hugged Ginny goodbye. "Why?" said Fred keenly. You'll see, said Charlie. Just don't tell Percy I mentioned it. It's classified information until such time as the Ministry sees fit to release it, after all. Yeah, I sort of wish I were back at Hogwarts this year, said Bill, hands in his pockets, looking almost wistfully at the train. Why, said George, impatiently. You're going to have an interesting year, said Bill, his eyes twinkling. I might even get time off to come and watch a bit of it. A bit of what, said Ron. But at that moment the whistle blew, and Mrs. Weasley chivied them toward the train doors. Thanks for having us to stay, Mrs. Weasley, said Hermione as they climbed on board, closed the door, and leaned out of the window to talk to her. Yeah, thanks for everything, Mrs. Weasley, said Harry. Oh, it was my pleasure, dears, said Mrs. Weasley. I'd invite you for Christmas, but, well, I expect you're all going to want to stay at Hogwarts with what one thing and another. Mum, said Ron irritably, what do you three know that we don't? You're going to find out this evening, I expect, said Mrs. Weasley, smiling. It's going to be very exciting, mind you. I'm very glad they've changed the rules. What rules? Said Harry, Ron, and Fred, and George together. I'm sure Professor Dumbledore will tell you. Now behave, won't you? Won't you, Fred, and George? The pistons hissed loudly, and the train began to move. Tell us what's happening at Hogwarts, Fred bellowed out of the window as Mrs. Weasley, Bill, Charlie sped away from them. What rules are they changing? But Mrs. Weasley only smiled and waved. Before the train had rounded the corner, she, Bill, and Charlie had disappeared. And I think maybe we'll stop there. And tomorrow we'll continue Chapter 11 and see how the rest of the train ride goes. I love you so much, Kitty. You're the sweetest girl ever. Sleep well, Boo. Good night.